The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time to go to the United States. Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas. Cal, your predictions about the Oscars came true. Not about who'd win or lose, but as to the number of people who'd watch it.
Yeah, I think people are getting fed up, Matt, and it's not just the Oscars. We talked about this last week. It's professional football. It's a lot of other things in America that have become political. People tune into these things on television, most people do, and go to sports contests, not to hear about politics. They get that the rest of the week, especially here in Washington. That's all we have, 24/7, nothing but politics. And when politics takes over the Oscars or professional sports, people just tune out. And I think, second year in a row, ratings are down. They were down for the Emmys, the TV awards. And these people better step up their game and stop with the political stuff. Or, they could risk even lower ratings. And the networks are not going to like that because they sell TV time to sponsors like you do and everybody else does in broadcasting.
But, Mary McKeown, the Oscars, I didn't see the Oscars. The reason I didn't see the Oscars, well, apart from working as well, just wasn't particularly interested in spending hours watching something which isn't particularly important. But it wasn't a particularly political event by all accounts, was it?
No, it wasn't. I think that you're right. It's just too long. It's 3.5, nearly 4 hours. Who's got that amount of time to... And I know every film aficionado is going to go nuts, but they need to just get it down to 1.5 hours. They need to just get best actor, best supporting actor, actress, director, film, whatever. And, all of the technical awards, I'm saying it, but it's just too bloody boring. But I don't agree with Cal that's because of politics, because they had lower numbers. They had the lowest ever in 2011. And there's always been politics in the Oscars, Cal. Do you not remember the Bush years when everybody got up and made their little political speeches? It's just that people, back in the day, they had 3 TV channels, as I've said before. Now there are 300, and there's also online streaming, and there's everything else, and there's a load of really good TV, so people are much more inclined to spend 3 hours watching whatever is the latest great TV series on Netflix. Exactly. So I think that's got a lot more to do with it.
I think, Cal, that might be more of the issue rather than people objecting to the politicization, as you would describe it, of the Oscars. It's just to have far more choice available to them.
Well, that's true as well. Yes, it's not all one note or one size fits all. Plus, this year's films, I thought, were not all that great. I mean, The Shape of Water, the only reason I watched that, and I get them in advance because I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild, because it was so weird. Here's a mute woman who falls in love with a fish. I mean, come on. It was sort of like a head-on collision. I couldn't take my eyes off it, not because it was good, but because it was so weird. Where are the good plots anymore in this 3 billboards thing? I mean, the woman who won Best Actress on that, I hated that movie. Full of all kinds of trashy language, Southern stereotypes about the police. And then the last scene, the corrupt police officer goes off with her to go and murder somebody that she suspects was responsible for the rape and murder of her daughter. Wow.
But you do know Irishman made that movie, don't you?
I'm going to disagree with you there, Cal. The Shape of Water, I'll go along with. I don't know how that won Best Film. I agree with that. 3 Billboards is a brilliant film, and it's about so much more than what you said. It's about forgiveness, compassion. It's about all of the big scenes, and it is hilariously funny, albeit in a very dark way. Frances McDormand, I think the best-deserved best actress for a long time. Her performance was astonishing, so I was thrilled to see that.
Very mixed views here in Ireland as to whether 3 Billboards is good. I've met people who've loved it. I've met people who've hated it. Did Frances McDormand get her stolen Oscar back, Marion?
She did. It's such a bizarre story. It was stolen. She got her Oscar. She went up to the Governor's Ball, which is attended by 1,500 people, which is upstairs directly from the Dolby Theatre. Big fancy do every year. And this guy, Terry Bryant, who does this thing, he goes to all these gigs. He's 47 years old, and he picks up people's Grammys or Tonys or whatever it is, the MTV Awards, and he holds them up and goes, oh, I just won this for whatever. I mean, the poor guy Paradise sounds like a bit of a nutter. But anyway, he took Frances McDormand's Oscar, and then he posted a picture of himself on Facebook with it, very bad thief, and said, oh, I just won this for music. I just won this for music. And he was then caught by a security guard. Now, I heard from two people who were at the party that Frances McDormand actually said to the police not to arrest him, that, you know, just leave him alone. It was a prank or whatever. And the police insisted, the security insisted, rather, and he was arrested and was held on $20,000 bail. So not such a good night for him, after all.
Marion, I'll start with you in this. Tell me who Sam Nunberg is.
Okay. Sam Nunberg is he's a chap who has been in Donald Trump's orbit, shall we say, for about 5 or 6 years, if not longer, since about 2011. He claims that he was the mastermind behind Trump's campaign in many ways, as in he told him to go heavy on the build a wall, told him to go after Jeb Bush in the way he did, and came up with the trade platform, etc. Now, Trump fired him in 2014 after he did an interview with somebody who went disastrously wrong, and then he took him back in 2015 when he was running, when he announced his campaign. Sam Nunberg didn't last long. He's a big protege of Roger Stone's. Now, you may remember the book Fire and Fury that we spoke about, Michael Wolff's book. One of the three sources for that book, well, three of them were Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, and Sam Nunberg, and they all sort of know each other.
Marion, just one second. The Netflix documentary Get Me Roger Stone is one of the most entertaining documentaries I've ever seen. I'd recommend anyone to watch it.
It is. I absolutely agree. But Nunberg, I mean, Stone is, I mean, we could spend a whole program on Stone. But anyway, these are a sort of an unholy trinity of people who were very involved in the Trump campaign, and they pride themselves on being dirty tricks guys and thugs, etc., etc. Anyway, Sam Nunberg, basically, I suspect the reason you're asking about this is he had a complete meltdown, well, five meltdowns, actually, on cable TV here in the United States yesterday. The other thing about Sam Nunberg that I should say very quickly to keep this in context: when Donald Trump looked like he was going to win, Sam Nunberg was put in charge of briefing him on the Constitution. I explained to him, yes, it's a document that we have to abide by as Americans, that the president has to protect. Now, Sam Nunberg, although you would not know from his performance yesterday, is also a lawyer. And I just thought, my God, the blind leading the blind, if this is who's lecturing Donald Trump on the finer points of constitutional law, went on all the networks, said that he had been subpoenaed by the Mueller investigation. He was going to tear it up. He was going to tear it up on Bloomberg News. He wasn't going to go, and he wasn't going to obey it. He didn't care. It was a plot to convict his friend Roger Stone, a mentor of perjury. He would be no part of it. It was the most spectacular meltdown on TV I've seen since Donald Trump's last.
Okay, but let's hear this guy Nunberg in action. We have a couple of clips. The first one I want to play is the interview that he did with CNN last night, in which its presenter Aaron Burnett asked him if he had taken a drink before he came on air.
Talked earlier about what people in the White House were saying about you.
Yeah.
Talking about whether you were drinking or on drugs or whatever they had happened today. Talking to you,
yeah.
I have smelled alcohol in your breath.
Well, I have not had a drink.
You haven't had a drink, so that's not.
No.
So I just, because it is the talk out there, again, I know it's awkward, let me just give you the questions. Well, you can categorically answer that. Have you had a drink today?
My answer is no, I have not.
Anything else?
No.
No.
No. Besides my meds.
Okay.
Antidepressants, is that okay?
No, I'm just trying to understand.
Well, look, they
what
can say
today.
They can say whatever they want. I don't really care. What, once again.
And let's hear what he had to say in a radio interview with a New York radio station yesterday. He was talking about the White House press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
You know what? If Sarah Huckabee wants to start debasing me, she's a joke. Okay, fine. Yeah, she's unattractive. She's a fat slob. Okay, fine. But that's irrelevant. The person she works for has a 30% approval rating. Okay? So if she wants to start attacking me, she can do that. That's fun. But we know it's a joke. Everybody knows it's a joke.
And he had to resort to attacking her personal appearance, right? Kyle Thomas, what do you make of this guy and his connection to Donald Trump and the problems he's causing for him?
Oh, Matt, the left and the Hillary campaign, what's left of it, is so desperate. They're doing interviews with this nutter. They're doing interviews with a prostitute who they, CNN sent somebody over, a reporter over, to interview this prostitute in a police van who claims that she has evidence of collusion between some Russian oligarch and a member of the Trump campaign. Here's a quote from Sam Nunberg you didn't play for, when he was interviewed by Katie Tour on MSNBC. Quote, Trump may have very well done something during the election. I don't know what it is. I could be wrong, by the way. There's credibility for you.
Okay. Tell me, the trade tariffs that Donald Trump is bringing in relation to steel and aluminium. And I know that this plays to the audience amongst the people who think industrial jobs have been lost and the rest of it. But what about the danger of a possible trade war, retaliation by the European Union? What about the fact that the reason jobs have been lost in America is down to technology?
Yeah, well, I happen to be a free trader, and I don't like tariffs. I think they come back to haunt you in ways you've just suggested. But this is something that Trump has been for, tariffs, that is, for a very long time. This is not something new. Now, George Bush was tried this out for a while, and after a year, because of the negative consequences, as you just suggested, withdrew them. I think there's a better way to do this, but I do think that Trump, being the ultimate negotiator, he has said he wants to blow up NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Association Agreement. He's got people in Mexico right now trying to convince the Mexicans that they need to do this if they don't want these tariffs imposed. So this could be a rope-a-dope kind of deal where he is just fainting and doesn't really mean it, or he could really mean it. We're supposed to find out for sure on Thursday.
What do you make of this, Marion? What's the general view in the United States as to the appropriateness of these trade tariff threats?
First of all, I have to register my shock. Unless you were joking, Carol, calling Trump the ultimate negotiator. He's the worst negotiator possibly in the world. Everything he puts his hand to, he just makes an absolute mess of. Yet the view here in the States seems to be, well, it's a bit sceptical because there is a special election coming up in Pennsylvania, which is, of course, where one of his blue-collar working class bases are, and steel mills, etc. So there is that. And there's also the view that this is just crazy, that the Canadians aren't going to come to the table this way, and that this just isn't going to work, and that it could end up losing, you know, hundreds of thousands of US jobs instead. That it's just, even Paul Ryan, possibly the most spineless House Speaker in the history of House Speakers, has come out and said that he urges Trump not to do this, that it is a mistake. People are a bit freaked about it. I suspect that it will be watered down, and that it will, you know, like everything Trump says, it comes in, you know, in a big blast of thunder, and then it goes out with a whimper. I don't see this being a goer for many, many reasons. I know, Cal, you're right, he has been pro-tariffs all along, but to what end? You know, it just shows a fundamental misunderstanding of how trade works.
And just coming up on my computer screen, that's Sam Nunberg guy we were talking about a few moments ago. He's actually apologised in the last few moments to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, saying it was wrong to attack her physical appearance, saying Sarah is very talented and that it was a rude comment. He also said, having insisted yesterday during his interviews that he wouldn't spend 80 hours sifting through his emails to comply with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's subpoena, he says he's now doing exactly that. Okay, Carl Thomas and Marion McKeown, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word this evening. We'll talk to you again next week.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.